The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I'm from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I'm from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I'm from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you're fine.
Good night, Bahamas, and to the international community. I didn't even know I had a lot of listeners overseas. I'd like to say thank to each and every one of you who also listen to overseas. A lot of people listen in the United States of America. It's hard to believe. Just incredible. My name is Valentino Bryan, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays, on this wonderful station. Guardian Radio. The name of the show is Inside the Inner City. Telephone numbers tonight are 325-4316, 325-4259. And we talk about solution to the country's problem. And it's a very important topic to have in the country, because we're having so many issues in the country. And we have to find alternative solutions to many of our country's problems. And it's very, very difficult. So before I begin, I'd just like to say a special hello to Mark Tynquist. Tomorrow, they will be having a business seminar at the Cancer Society down from ZNS. It's free. So all Bahamians and those who are interested, foreign nationals, anyone who is interested in see how they can get their business quotes, set up their business, know about revenue, profit margin, how to price your product. If prices go up, Mark Tynquist is there to assist you. He has been doing it for 25 years, and he's continuing to do it. He says he has a few years left, and he wants to make sure that YZ is still healthy and strong, and YZ has the energy and the passion, because, you know, the passion dies after a certain amount of time, you know. And he wants to see how many people he can help get their business started. He also can help you get your business license. So this is a great gesture from Mark Tynquist. He has been one of the longest person advocating for small business legislation in the country, for the government to pay attention to small business and making exemptions for small business owners in the country, because he knows very well that more small business would be great in the country. It is a way of adding to the GPA, but it also can give the Bahamians a sense of relief, because as a small business owner, we can solve a lot of the country's problem, because we have a lot of persons who are starting to grow wealth and profit margin. So automatically, we would be able to deal with some of the issues in our community instead of being so reliant on government. It takes the pressure off government, and then we could solve a lot of these problems in the country. So on the seminar, I think it starts at 11, on, I can't remember exactly time, but it's there, I think, till 4. It's free. Food and drinks would be there. Again, at Cancer Society, anyone knows who are interested, it's tomorrow. Cancer Society. That's right there by Zedness, where Zedness is, on top of Collins Avenue, to the right. Cancer Society through Zedness Hill. So you just turn through off Collins Avenue, make a right, and go up the hill, and it's the third building on the right. You can't miss it. There's a big sign, says Cancer Society, and there will be a seminar there for you, free food and drinks for a few hours, and you could get a lot of information. You might even be able to get your business license set up, or if you want to. Like I said, it's a step-by-step procedure that prepares you in the business world. I want to give a special shout-out to Mark Turnquest. On today's show, we're going to talk about progress. But before we talk about progress, I just wanted to be making people know that everything I've done coming on radio and in my community that I continue to work on, and that's improving the conditions of the community and eventually changing the mindset by providing opportunities with small business. You know, I'm not a rich guy, but slowly but surely, I'm gaining a little traction, you know, still doing a little small things, but it's coming to a point where we will be successful to have at least 10, 20 small businesses be established in the community. And these are going to be the beacon where we get together, we discuss and see how we can make improvements in the community to help others in our community. Whether it's getting rid of the rats, whether it's helping with small home repair, whether it's helping others become small business owners, whether it's something positive going on in the community, whether it's some type of charity work, helping some person who needs assistance in the community. We want to start to create that community aspect again. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if the community progress. You know, we've had a lot of incidents where school kids are involved in very, very physical altercation. And we wonder why. We just had a recent incident where two kids were stabbed, I think in Freeport, Grand Bahama. Then recently there was a fight at C.I. Walker School. But we have many, many different incidents for many years concerning school children actually taking knives to school, sometimes even firearms. And unfortunately, the police were able to apprehend these young individuals who were going back to school to actually take out the person who they had an argument with. So we have some very serious pressing matters in the country that we need to find a way on how we're going to change the mindset of the teenagers in this country, because per 100,000, and it is estimated that per 100,000 persons, where we average over 100 murders per year, we are a conflict zone, meaning that we settle our differences with violence. And we are one of the most highly violent nation in the Caribbean. Because we need to understand that Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, Haiti, and all of these Caribbean countries that you see have a bigger population than the Bahamas itself. And we, with 100 murders per capita, you know, we are more dangerous than these countries that have millions of people. And we just, a quarter million, we could be half a million, we probably could be a million from people who are Bahamian descendants who live abroad in the United States, Canada, the U.S., and et cetera. But mainly we could say, largely in the Bahamas here, we got about a quarter million Bahamians here. And if you look at that per capita with 100 murders per year, it shows you the dire need for us to find alternative solution to decrease that as much as possible to make sure that we have a safe country. Because right now, as it stands now, we are seeing so much different violent crimes. We're seeing gang activities. We are seeing disputes with love life, love triangle, you know, basically drug involvement, boyfriend, girlfriend, dispute over, you know, many, many things similar. And what we are seeing is a pattern You know, where there's young guys going out to fish fry, supposed to go to have a good, great time, but they eventually get an altercation with other young Bahamians. And what they fail to understand is that you're not the only one out there who have bad intentions. The same guys that you have an altercation with, they have the same intentions by you confronting them. So they're not going to back down. It's not that, you know, they're afraid of you. You might be bigger and badder than them and stuff. Might have a bigger crew or something like that. But that don't mean they are not armed. You know, you could get a jump on them at first, but then eventually, you know, after the split up, there could be some commotion where the guy slips off and he has his firearm and he's watching you guys and you guys are not paying attention. And then he has a chance to see someone in the crew and opens fire on that person, you know, or exchange a fire. And either way, someone loses their life or both parties loses their lives. If you look at both scenes at the fish fry incident, I know both of the gentlemen who got killed. And like I said, I know both of their family, mother and father. One from Bear Street, like I said, I know him. His father is a family member of mine's. You know, Don. And then with the H-Street area, like I said, you know, the whole entire family, you know, and the young 25-year-old Philip Lockhart, who is a cousin of mine through the Woods family that stays through. One minute. That stairs off of Hay Street, Wilson's Creek. So the whole community is like, you know, family oriented. You know, we have off cousin. But to see young guys sometimes, the only thing I can do is talk to them and tell them, you know, it's a revolving door, what you give to the world, you know, it's gonna come back to you, you know, what you do to people is gonna come back to you, you know, people who you love is gonna get hurt, you know, regardless how much damage you do out there. You know, you might be doing some shooting yourself and hurting people and taking people's lives. And you might be on top right then and there. But people will retaliate. And in the course, you have no control over. There will be someone, friends, brother, sister, cousin, you know, who will lose their life in retaliation from the next set of guys who you offended, who you shoot at, or who you hurt. And sometimes it won't be the guys who you think do the shooting. It's be other guys who you probably had a dispute with, and they decided to take a chance of sneaking the crew off guard, and you would have this thing where you were trying to figure out who do it, and then you would be speculating on other guys who's not even involved, and then you go target those guys. And when you target those guys, them guys wondering why you targeted them, and they saying, man, you know, you tit for tat, and they respond. So it's a no-win situation, you know? No-win situation, but, you know, all I can do as a guy who have been there is try to give them the best advice. They have to live their life the best, but they can live their life. It's their turn, but they're going to find out that you have no control over it, okay? The only thing you can do is to try to live a positive life, you know? Stay away from altercation. Stay away from bad company, you know? Try your best to find a trade, you know? Learn anger management, you know? Learn to stay away from people who are negatives, always talking negative, talking about people and talking badly about people. You know, stay away from those type of persons, you know, because they're going to cause you getting the problem. You know, have a positive mindset, you know, that you can have a bright future, you know, that you can earn an honest living, you know, and that you could one day get married, have children, and live to see 70, 80, 90 as an old person. You know, many of our young people are not even reaching the age of 30. And all I can say is that many of the persons that I was seeing who got charged recently, they're not fit. They even say they're bad boys, okay? Let me tell you why I'm going to say that, general public. In the 90s, 80s, when you was into badness, I was protecting my community. I wasn't just into badness. I was protecting my community because other guys were trying to take over the community from a different crew, and they wanted to turn us into a different gang. You know, we didn't want to be a gang. We just wanted our community, but guys wanted to turn into a gang, so we formed our own gang. So I was only protecting our community from being taken over from a rural crew who were not from that community. And when we got into crime and violent crimes, I was only involved in violent crime, shooting, stabbings, and et cetera. And I'm not saying I'm to boast and talk about it on the air. I'm just saying it because I just wanted people to get understanding. I was not involved in no rape and no armed robbery and stuff like that. I just was always defending myself and defending my friends, just like other guys who defend their friends. So anyway, when we were in the business, we were not just built for the streets. You know, we had to be rough not only in the streets, you had to be rough in the hands of the police. You know, for you have to worry about the red and black police, that's the set in the uniform. But the most brutal set is a set who are in uniform. We used to call them CID, which you call them CDU now. Now, we all know the stories, right? So you had to be prepared that when you was into badness, that when you get in the hands of CID, you're going to get a whooping, okay? Ain't no ifs and no buts about it, right? That was coming, especially if you were doing violent crime, armed robbery and murder, or anything like that, right? That coming. So you would have to prepare yourself for that. This generation, they quick to get angry. They have no conflict resolution. You know, they quick to get angry because they're drinking a lot of rum and they're taking a lot of pills. You know, all type of pills these youngsters taking. So they anyone at sound mind. So when they go, and we're not reporting this, when they go and we see these fights and we see these murders around this nightclub, first of all, where's their blood test? Toxicology report to check their blood to see if they're intoxicated. And I guarantee you would see they're intoxicated. Everyone involved was intoxicated. So what do you think is going to be the results? Especially if you're a youngster. We had an 18-year-old kill a 25-year-old by fish fry. And we had a 21-year-old kill a prison officer. And he said, while he was in custody, that when they showed him the video of him inside the establishment where the incident happened, he saw the film and he said that was not him. He had an amnesia. So you know what that means? People might don't believe this. And it's true, you know, in some cases, you know, I don't know if he's faking, but I can tell you from experience, when you so intoxicated and you're in a rage and demons is coming to you, you understand? I mean, real demons is coming to you. And out of that, with the rum and the pills, you will not think straight. And this is what reaction you get. So I advise young persons out there that when you're getting police custody, especially in the CID hands, you guys aren't even built to take pressure. You're quick to pull the trigger and do all sort of mass shooting. But when you all get in the hands of CDU, all I seen is a voluntary bill of indictment. Every time I look, every one of those cases have a voluntary bill of indictment. You know what that means? That means the majority of these individuals will never see the day of light ever again. Because the prosecution, the police, has enough evidence that they believe they can convict you. And especially the one on top of the hill. So his life is finished off about 1 minute. 1 minute of intoxication, pills, partying, and you escalate something. Now look at you. Your life is finished. Same thing with the lady who got murdered, the pregnant lady. Her boyfriend is the one who accused of murdering her. The guy didn't even last 2 days. What is the sense you doing a serious crime if you ain't think about the consequences, what's going to happen afterwards? You know? I guess he had it planned, but after he did it, 2 days later, I was reading the newspaper, and when I heard that they had a suspect, I said, watch this. I bet you they already get him. And I said, I bet you he could get him to the body. And just like I said that, I tell the guys around the corner, they say, boy, you bad. And just like that, he took them back to the body because guilt. You know, he was angry at first, and then guilt came in. And when guilt comes in knowing that you do wrong, you could do You could do heinous crimes now. But it's not built for everyone. See, everyone in this country now wants to have a gun and wants to be bad. You guys ain't bad, and you guys are going to make crucial mistakes because y'all are not built for it. And y'all are going to end up in prison, or y'all are going to end up getting killed in the streets. So I'm advising young guys out there. I'm advising young ladies out there. Don't be so quick to be angered. You know, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're not getting along and it was hard to break up, you know, it's a back and forth. Because I go through it too, you know. I go through it too. It ain't hard to break up with somebody. You're going to slap a bitch, you know, and you might love them. You know, it's hard. I know it's very hard. But, boy, listen, sometimes it's just better to just be silent and walk away. Like I say, it's very, very hard, you know. It's not easy as people say, you know, but some way, somehow, you know, pray and just try to walk away, you know, especially the guys, you know. And, you know, ladies say a lot of terrible things to guys, you know. And what I want to say to ladies out there, too, you know, ladies, be careful what you say to these guys. You know, some of these guys are hot-tempered. You know, they in and out of jail, and then some of them are traveling with guns, and you're seeing them with these guns, and then, you know, you kind of like it at first, you know. But when it's time and problem comes in and they feel that you're seeing somebody and you're being disrespectful to them and your motor's hard and you're saying some things to guys who are actually doing shooting, then they lose their temper and they make careless decision. So I just wanted to say that. But my show today is going to be about progress. So after I take this call, I'm going to let my producer, Mr. Chris, play some clips with the opposition leader. Then the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and we're going to play a clip of Sabas in his journey in Fort Charlotte along with Travis Robertson, because there's a stiff competition, and then I want to explain why I like to discuss these topics. And then we're going to play a clip, I think, with progress of the school Junior Junkanoo Parade, which I think if we were to take Junior Junkanoo really serious, where we could get kids and pay kids, you know, I think this could stop a lot of the infighting in the schools and stuff like that, because the kids would be more interested in Junkanoo, along with other traits that we can introduce, like farming and fishing, you know. And we also have to be able to take these kids on a lot of field trips, you know, to some of the factories and stuff that we have around, and show them what they can do with their hands if they are committed here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So we're going to take this call, and then we're going to play four clips. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Garden Radio. Hey, bless me, brother.
All right. Man, back in the day, if you had a knife or a gun on go, that was like that is us for protection.
Yes.
It wasn't going out there crying and seeing nothing.
Yes, sir.
That's how I don't want to do, because you know how other people go, how their minds is.
Yes.
You just try and protect yourself and the people who are around you.
Yes.
Now, today, they got gun and things to grow balls.
Yes. Go to.
That's what these weapons and things for.
Yes.
Automatically give them balls and things to do things and bigger than they actually are.
Yes.
And they end up on University Drive. That's green or blue building, the green building, I think it is.
Yes.
They get to the back of them door, and they know them door, they can buzz out. And you, when them people letting you, they turn into a whole different type of animal.
Oh, a different type.
They fall up.
Fall up.
Standing, you know, what's good, or ready to cry.
Ready to cry.
Tell the world every day.
Shoot up, you don't shoot
even
up.
What they ain't talking, but they try and tell them. Understand what I said?
That's what happening right now. That's what's happening right now.
That's what's happening right now.
Let me ask you a question. When you look at the cases, like the shooting incidents, what do you hear when you hear voluntary bill of indictment? That's what you hear, right?
Exactly. Talking.
What that means? What that means?
That's all you're snitching and talking, man.
What that means?
Telling everything. Telling everything just to save themselves. And they don't go to that jail, boy. They don't go to that big jail.
And this
big jail ain't nowhere to go to, you know. You know the time.
Man,
that big jail ain't nowhere to go, but sorry for you, man.
You understand? Because you're going to meet some guys up there rougher and tougher than you.
Oh, yeah.
You understand?
Oh, yeah. And they can take what they want from you.
You understand? Yeah, that much. You want to see...
Yeah, who you were.
You understand?
Who you was on that road or what you was doing.
You understand?
You got worse of people up there.
Worse up.
Worse up.
You don't see the president.
They like that's like school to them.
Yeah, you don't see the. You know, let me just comment on this real quick. You could comment on as well. You don't see the commander Don Clare. He is saying now the person who got charged for the slaying of the correction officer. He is saying it's going to be very hard to use for shrink, but he's also saying they're professional. So he's letting you know that even though this guy is in the hands of the prison, he himself could be dealt with because the class of 2020.
He don't know what got happened. And this guy said, "What's up, but Iran, them guy, other guys, even Iran, them officers, they do their job and thing and whatever, right? But you all, they're human too, man."
Yes.
And I see the tests and thing, on a couple of video and thing when they score to get killed.
Yes.
You think they don't still have that feeling and that thing in them right now?
Yes.
That boy come up there.
Yeah.
You understand? And that's all the things these guys got to realize, bro. Is that you're a man, you're somebody, you bad when you taking care of your family, bro.
That's right. Responsibility. Paying the light bill. Paying the water
paying
bill.
Paying the light bill. Paying the, you know, pay to go on a 9-to-5 every day. Every flicker day, you know you won't get paid the right amount.
Yes.
You still got to do that because you know.
Yes.
Your family got to eat.
Yeah, taking your daughter to school and paying the school
exactly.
fee. This kind of stuff you got to be doing, man. This would make you a man, man. This would make you a man. The stuff with you guys doing that. So a lot of these guys are young guys and they have children. So what they're going to do when they go to jail, they're going to leave their children out there to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And their children become just like how they was. That's how that's what happened to me. You see how you said? That's just what happened to me. And I ended up the way I was at a young age, but I was glad I made it through and see that I was doing wrong and that I also accept God, but I get stronger with God and I found my way and I asked him to find a way for me.
You had that base though.
Yes.
You see what
yes.
I said? We,
yes.
These red back then, going to church and
yes, my grandmother's.
You don't know what is right and wrong.
Yes, with our grandmother's.
So
yes.
That's something you could have fall back on
yes.
in this day and age.
Ain't nothing happening. Guys in the clay.
They
don't talk.
Nothing to fall back on.
They don't talk about God. They don't talk about Jesus. They don't talk about none of these stuff out there. That's why I'm telling people around the country why the show is important, what they're trying to tell people out there right now. Those young people out there don't want to know God or know Jesus. That thing
mm-hmm.
seems to be a thing of past.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about
like
survival. And it's just about survival.
Help you out, man.
Yeah, just about survival
they
now.
They see a child going out of walk. They're grabbing that child, beating that child, and then when the parents come, they're beating them too.
Yeah.
You can't even open your mouth and say, this one beat me.
Yeah.
Mommy and daddy beating you.
Yep.
And
yep.
Auntie and uncle, everybody.
Yeah.
But doing foolishness because they know what they done been through.
Yeah.
You understand? They only try to see what's best for you.
Yeah. Trying
you
to teach.
Going contrary, man.
Yeah, they know what's going to happen to you because they're seeing
exactly.
it happen over and over and over. But the young children, them so stubborn. Listen, I stubborn too, so I'm not really being criticism of it.
Because I was the same way.
Because
we
the same way.
Like, oh, we know everything.
Yes, 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 yes,
we
yes.
We know everything, man. Yeah,
yes.
You're all talking. This is all time, man.
Yes.
This ain't our time.
Yes.
History has repeated itself.
And look what happened to us. Look how much time niggas done try to kill me. You understand? Because I was not listening. All the stuff
exactly.
I gone through was not listening. The same people were telling me, don't keep it bad company. Don't go this way. You need to come inside early. You need to go to school. And all these things. I'm going to do this. I won't go party and jump through the window. Yeah, I didn't jump through the window. Niggas boys in all kind of corners.
Exactly. Now you realize now.
Yes, sir.
What they was trying to say to you.
Yes, 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 yes.
You understand? Because we in that position where our parents is in and our uncles and things, and people who looking
yes.
out for you. And, you
yes.
know what I mean? Now. So now you come to that realization
yes.
that part of it ain't worth it, man.
Yes, it's a real world
it
out there.
It ain't worth it. I didn't get jerked up. I know why I'm still doing here right now.
Yes.
You see what I said?
Yes. All us who in the 90s get jerked up or get shot or get shoot or something. Man,
you understand what I said?
It was crazy.
And by them get do worse than, I mean, less than me.
Yes.
And they did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you know how to go. You can get gang back in the day because you know you get gang or you know it's with 30, 40, 50 niggas
hey,
with knife and cutlass.
Stomp in the ground. He's part of the pavement, bro.
You know to be surrounded with 50 or 100 guys and another 50, 100 guys, but 30 or 40 gang cutlass, 2 or 3 gang gun. Knife and cutlass and ice pick. Man, it wasn't something. They didn't even want to shoot you back in the day if you was a threat. They wanted all the young guys to initiate on you. So when we hold you and we put you on the ground, we want them chop you up. We want them, man.
Right.
So,
right.
Boy,
you know
people don't know.
There.
People don't know how serious it was.
Exactly.
You know?
Real, it was to be real serious. And like you say, people used to be protecting the area.
Yes. So if you get catch.
It wasn't like how the gangs used to
no,
be.
No,
like
no,
all
no.
over these areas now.
No, no. No.
In different areas. No. Everybody who's in that area know each other.
Yes.
And yeah, we looking out for each other.
Now
that's all we looking out for. We walk in the literature and home from school.
Yeah, yes. Protecting the area.
Girls and thing or whoever.
Because there was a lot of sections.
Niece, net, whoever.
Because there was a lot
looking
of sexual.
Looking out for them. You don't want bothering them.
Yeah, because back in the day, there was a lot of sexual predators out there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sexual. You had a lot of guys who were bungy bandits and rapists on the streets at the same time. And you had to be careful of them. Even though we were gangsters, you had to be careful because it was so dangerous on the streets of National Providence. You had the bassist who was on coke. They were very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
They were dangerous because they were in and out of jail and these prisons.
They was the ones who went to anything.
Yes, these the ones who were harming and raping young boys and girls when they was in and out of prison. And nothing has changed. That's why I always
whatever
have this program.
They think, that's, whatever they think in their head, that's what they can do.
Yes, yes, yes.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, brother.
I can listen to you.
Yeah, man.
Go into your little thing.
Yes.
And call back, man.
Yeah. So that's...
All right, Cody.
Thank you very much, brother. So... That's how it is. I'm telling you guys, you are not built for it. You know, if y'all can't do foolishness, right? And you're doing foolishness, you don't pull the trigger, you don't kill people, right? But when you get in the hands of CID, listen, you guys can't even take two slap. Man, you know our body used to get beat in CID? You know what they used to call me in CID? Listen what they used to call me in CID. No, nothing, man. That's my name in CID, Chris. You hear what they say? Ox. Former Superintendent Douglas Ann and all the Warriors and this them. Ask Paul Farquharson, who on the now deceased Paul Farquharson. Ask though, you can't ask him. You could ask him late, no, you can't even ask him. But a lot of the senior cops who were off the force and some who were on the cops, you know what they used to call me? Listen, my name was No Nothing. Once I in there, you could catch me red handed. I ain't talking to nobody. Eh? So it's cheap, you just show me in a cell, let me spend my 4 days or whatever I gotta spend. I ain't talking. I can take my little bit of beating, and I ain't talking. I reach a stage where they know that I ain't gonna talk. So anytime I get locked up, they'll say, "Take Scoochie or Scrooge," and trim the cell. He ain't gonna talk. He ain't waiting. He no sense you doing nothing to them. So when I get locked up, I used to just go throw my leg up in the cell, hear the mosquitoes buzzing, and just try sleep because it freezing. But there's one mosquito keeping you up all night. What mosquito, Chris? And that's allowed in the cell today. But I choke my leg because guess what? I ain't gonna talk to myself and I ain't gonna talk to nobody because I know if I talk, my freedom on the line. Now, I ain't encouraging no one to be like this. I'm just saying these guys nowadays are not built for it. They're pulling the trigger. But when they get in the hands of CID, like the caller said, they would tell the man what their grandmother had one little drink, what their grandmother was smoking the pipe. When these guys get catch, they tell the police that their grandmother had one joint stash in the back of the yard, if that's what it takes for them to get out of that station. I swear, because all I see is bill of voluntary indictment. That means you don't talk. That means, my brother, you're jailing yourself. That means you get up in jail. So this is the choice that you guys want in the streets of Nassau, New Providence, and all as well. And this is why we need to make progress in the country for our youth today. And a lot of them are on drugs. And a lot of these cases that we see, we're at fish fry around these clubs, even that police officer who responded, if you do a toxic early report on him, he was intoxicated. I don't care how you put it. Because he ran a bar. If he is in a bar, he's drinking. If he have a gun, he's drinking. That's why he responded that way. Now, I'm not saying he's wrong for operating the guy because a violent incident occurred where 3 people get stabbed, 1 lost their life. And he was an off-duty police officer. But a police officer is never off-duty. Now, he might act it in one little appropriate way, but he was there to apprehend a young guy. And like I said, you guys are not built. So, think about changing your mindset. You can't run the streets. The biggest drug dealer, 90 Knowles, I was in the cell. He locked up. You don't think he want to be free? Some of the biggest gangsters are in prison. Don't you think they want to be free on the streets? The hundreds of gang leaders who were killed, way serious than you guys who are around today. Don't you think they wish they could be here breathing? They say that right now, sitting on this AC or sitting on somewhere with their daughter or their girlfriend or one of their family members, if they could. No one could run the street. The roads is get paved every 5 years. Okay? I'm going to take this last call before I go to my topic. Go ahead, caller. Hey.
I had to call back because you say that's not like that. That was a situation with the boy in the bar, right?
Yes, sir.
I was on social media looking at all the things or whatever, and I see all the people laughing when the boy say he was Bingham. He can't remember what going down.
Yeah.
But that's a real thing, bro.
That's a real thing. I tell you.
That's a real thing.
That's a real thing,
once
people.
Once you get too much alcohol
yes,
in your system,
yes.
But you use a certain time period.
Yes.
And that night, you use blackout.
You use blackout. You use lucid.
When you wake up in the morning, you can't remember hours were going on.
Yes, yes.
Hours.
Yes.
That's how much liquor in your system.
Yes.
Especially you drinking them hard liquor like gin and Hennessy and things like that, cognac, all them things.
And if you're popping some pills, too.
All right, then.
And you're smoking.
They mixing drink and drugs together.
You understand
what I'm saying? So, yep. So that's a real thing, man. I don't want these people to be laughing at that like that. That's some big joke, bro.
That's what happened around
that's
the clubs.
People who never been in no real situation.
Yeah, they don't understand.
You understand? They don't understand.
They don't understand what's going on in the nightclubs. What people is doing, they be exchanging different drugs and stuff in
exactly.
the nightclub. In the nightclubs.
Exactly.
You know?
Real man, they must be blacking out.
Right.
Trust me. Sometimes I go on when I'm young. I don't know how I get home. When I wake up in the morning, my car, rain coming down, my window screwed on. Rain coming in, my mommy looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yes.
Boy, get out this car, boy. You don't know how you get home. I know the last time I remember I was in the club.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm home.
Yeah.
And that's God too, bro.
Yes, sir.
You understand? People is pray for you. These guys are mean getting prayed for today, bro.
No.
Their parents young. You see what I said? They ain't never been to church and thing and type vibe like that.
Yeah.
So how would you know about any church?
Yeah.
You understand? And like I hear all these people all the time, your ancestors are savior, bro.
Yeah.
People don't realize all them prayers with your mama, your great-grammy, and your grammy that used to pray on you.
Yeah.
Are still covering you today if they was really good Christians, bro.
Yeah.
You understand? And you just got to come to realization who you is.
Yes.
And accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And do what you got to do to get out of this situation.
Yes.
And just move forward, man.
Yes.
Every young man out there, I want them to do that, bro.
Yeah, man.
Go to church sometime. I mean, I ain't been to church in a minute, but I read my Bible and thing. And all my social media stuff coming to me now is be Christian thing.
Positive stuff.
Positive.
Yeah.
Exactly. I ain't that ragga no more, man.
No.
Listen to my some mellow little reggae and things sometimes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mostly it's the Christian stuff coming through, man. So.
Yes.
They still got an opportunity to be saved, you know. It ain't the end, you know.
No, it ain't the end.
But you just got to cut it now and try to catch yourself, man.
Because don't think it can't be you. What you see on the news. And don't laugh at nobody. And don't laugh at nobody when you see people come to their minds. Whether it's their enemy or whether it's there's your enemy or not.
Exactly.
Don't, because guess what? What goes around?
Comes around, bro.
All right, then.
Yeah, you remember my enemies who back in the day, who I see as being them like the tightest set of people.
Yeah, man,
today.
That's what's happening now.
The tightest set of people today, bro.
Yes, yes.
Big Y back in the day now. They're tight when I see them, like, running to them.
We love one another now, bro.
I surprise you still living.
Yes, that's what we say. We say one
another. All the KLC. I'm glad to see you, bro.
Yeah, all the KLC them down on the E-screen and stuff like that. All the scrub of them and stuff like that.
All right.
You know, these guys go down and we see one another one. And Scrooge stop by me. Kelsey stop by me sometimes, you know, every time we go into the bakery. So just like we wasn't even no enemies, brother. So
exactly.
That's show you.
Because you come there, you grow up now.
Yes.
Your life changed. Now you're looking for these by them.
Yeah.
Who you used to be wired with because you need, they your friends.
Yeah, they are friends.
That's your community.
Yes, and the Bible say, the Bible tells you, say, your worst enemy shall become your what?
Exact friend.
And that's exactly what happened. My worst enemies became some of my best friends.
Some of my best friends.
Who would look out for me more than guys who were around
more
me.
More than family, bro.
I swear, ain't no lying about this, that the Bible is true.
The Bible is very true, bro.
Very true. All right, brother. Man. Thank you.
Just stay blessed, bro.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming. So let me just give a word of advice. You know, one could run the streets, okay? All right? And this, I can end on this with this topic. What you do to us will come to you, and you have no control over it. Every guy in Nas who said it was bad, if you look at the late great, the old emperor, he was a rude boy. We come up under these guys, you know, but these guys were bigger than us, even though we were gangsters, you know. These guys was Mongols, you know, on the streets, you know, like 90 and stuff like that. They were the big guys. They were the money men, you know. We were the gangsters. Yeah, we were the bronze, but these guys were money men. I know no scrutiny towards the family. I'm just saying that you see, he even lost family members. As serious as he was, he lost family members. We have Stephen Dye Stubbs in prison. You know what I mean? He lost family members, you know. I lost family members, you know. Anyone in this game who is top guys, don't think because you're top guys that you can stop other people from coming at you and hurting your family. No, it don't work like that because God don't design it that way. No, it don't work like that. Until you could understand that anyone can be touched and that you can cause your loved ones get killed or get hurt because of the decision that you make. So your best action is to avoid conflict as much as possible. If you want to make it this time and set yourself on changing your mindset and forgiving and try to live a productive life. I want to go to the progress now. There's a competition going on with the by-election coming up. And then we have competition going on in the by-election seat. And then Fort Charlotte between the Bass Coalition of Independence and the youngest parliamentary ever elected to host of parliament, former member of parliament, Travis Robertson, and they're going at it in that constituency. So we want to talk about the progress. But before we do that, I want to play some clips and base my last hour of the show on the comments of these distinguished gentlemen who are leading the country. Two are looking to lead the country, and one is looking to become a member of parliament. And I want you to see that everything that I've done over the last 20 years being in media was for this format, for governments and members of parliament to put their focus on working on helping the people inside their respective community. That's why I was always asking for $1 million for MPs every year. In fact, the sniping that you see MPs are getting now, I was the one who advocated for that. All right? There's a lot of things I advocate for because I know the benefit of an MP having allowance fee. I came out on Hubert Ingram. Okay? I was the one who was talking with Tommy Torrencrest. I was the one who assisted when they gave the $1 million, when the Free National Movement gave the $1 million to community leaders. That is my doing, talking to Tommy Torrencrest, when Hubert Ingram went and gave the $1 million to churches, community organizations, and then he came up with the sniping where he was giving the MPs $100,000+. I want the general public to know that was me who was pushing that. There's a lot of stuff I was pushing. And I was sitting down with the Honorable Tommy Torrencrest. That's why I said Tommy Torrencrest is one of the best MPs I ever worked with. So that sniping that you see the MPs are getting right now in the House of Parliament, if you watch the shows that I did with Gems Radio, with Debbie Bartley when I was a co-host, or any IDB event, or any time I met the Office of the Prime Minister, which is recorded, and also have a book. It's called The Urban Design Lab. You would see in that book that was presented to the office, to the Prime Minister himself in 2013 by the IDB Bank and the students and professors, and they were said to be the smartest set of people in the world, and they came from Vienna, Austria, who was invited by the government in 2013 under the Perry Christie administration, where I worked with them on the ground to design a plan for urban development. And urban development deals with small business, Wi-Fi on the parks, paving the roads, repairing homes, building homes, solution for garbage collection, water distribution, fire extinguishers should be put in every house in the communities because we know that we have a lot of fires in the country, and because, you know, a lot of people are poor, they don't have proper running water, and we have kids who are left home inside these homes who are left unattended. We also wanted to build small nurseries where kids would be able to go, small community center nurseries where kids would be, where parents would be able to drop their kids off because we know that they're working at VV hours. We know that they're single parents. So we wanted to provide an avenue to accommodate the parents that where they could leave their kids. St. Agnes is one of the suggestions we made where we was going to put a community center, and people from the grandson community who were working late or working would be able to drop their kids off, like a nursery, be free of charge, sponsored by the government of the Bahamas. And these are the programs that I was working on. And these are the suggestions that I was putting to the board for 20 years. So that covers the whole entire Bahamas, okay? And also putting infrastructure, you know, like what the community needs, you know, like fire engines. And I was very creative, you know. And we talked about the Family Island as well, because the Family Island is part of inner city development. And that book was presented, the Urban Design Lab, to the Honorable Perry Christie. And that's for the Bahamian people. And that's what happened right now with a lot of programs. So I just want to play this clip and show you the progress. And that's why I had a show. And that's why I always talk about these things, because that's why I wanted government. You know, like I said, I started in the PLB government in 2013, carry on to the Hubert Alexander Menace administration. It was switched from the Urban Design Lab to the Overdell Initiative. And I still was working with them for the first year or so. But when I see that it was more political, it was not really for the BME people the way it was supposed to design, I still continue to do it in my community with some of my partners who are still assisting me today with small projects like cleaning the community and me getting to the small business aspect. But we're going to play the clip, and then we can have some conversation, and we're going to play one more with the opposition leader, and then one more, and then we're going to just have a little short discussion. Go ahead, Chris, for me, please.
Bintard administration would commence construction on hundreds of homes within its first 6 months in office, according to Free National Movement leader Michael Bintard. He revealed 7 different models for the homes they have in mind.
But in the first 6 months of being in office, we would have commenced hundreds of homes. Because it's just that simple. And we are that far along in our discussion with partners locally and internationally that will help us explode the housing sector.
His comments come nearly 2 months after St. Anne's MP Adrian White vowed that if elected, the party would commit to building between 1,000 and 2,000 homes per year. Pintard says it is laughable to say it would be challenging to build 2,000 homes across the Bahamas.
We do have the technology and the building true systems to generate 2,000 homes, but it will not exclusively be using the systems build. It will also include traditional construction. What we will not do is use the same tired system where the government is putting in the hands of multiple persons contracts for multiple homes who have no construction experience.
Pintard, who was asked about the FNM's plans to address a housing shortage during his guest appearance on Guardian Radio talk show Morning Blend with host Dwight Strawn, was pressed on how his government would achieve that goal.
We have had the opportunity to be in discussions with a number of companies that have the ability to comfortably roll out 2,000 homes by us setting up Bahamian-owned, jointly with others, or standalone Bahamian-owned manufacturing companies that are able to generate panels and the vast majority of the inputs required to go into a systems bill. That's one. Secondly, we are also able to engage in traditional build, because what you do not want to do is disadvantage the traditional construction sector.
He added an FNM government would also outsource the majority of inspections that go through the Ministry of Works. Pintard also touched on plans to make housing more affordable for Bahamian families.
There's enough capital here and internationally for Bahamians to come in, and rather than pay $1,200 on rent, or $1,500, we would be able to put in place no money down. We'll do, of course, all the pre-qualifications, etc. No money down, and you are able to walk into a house in less than 3 months. We're not taking six months, 7 months, 8 months to build what?
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonnie Toot.
It's all progress. Everything I've done for the last 20 years, I understand the needs of the concerns of the Bahamian people. Whether in Bantan, I think Bantan Bantan is actually Nassau. Let me first explain this. Yes, we're in the Bahamas, but do you know that Grandstand and Bantan and Mason Addition and stuff like that, even Fort Charlotte, the beginning of Fort Charlotte, do you all know that's actually Nassau? We're the capital of Nassau, okay? So there's no reason for the condition that the community is in when it comes to dialect, vehicles, run-down houses, and garbage on the side of the road. That is should be unacceptable because we are in the capital. And I want nothing more than us to be respected. I don't care if you're PLPF and them or coalition or whatever party you're from. That is not my concern. If the party is leaning towards like what the FNM is doing, I'm going to play the clip coming up with the Prime Minister or what the Prime Minister is doing in this constituency of Chat Island and making improvements, whether it's the new airport or it's a new water system they're building, you know, to upgrade the living conditions of the Chat Island people. I'm all for that. If the Free National Movement is going to use this as a way to convince the general public and voters to vote for them with this great initiative, either way, it's a win-win situation for the Bahamian people. But at the same time, we want great leadership. We want honesty. We want integrity. You know, we want to bring down corruption. Listen, there's no government going to get rid of corruption, okay? Not on the police force, not in the government, not in the immigration department. As much as we could put emphasis on the immigration department, corruption still will go on at the immigration department. But sometimes, you know, even you might say, corruption, we might not know what we're talking about. For instance, there are many people in the country who bought their driver's license and they benefit from it. And that's corruption. All right? There are many people who paid for their car license and et cetera, and they pay the bog law. Not just to speed it up, you know, they just don't want to go in the line. And we could call it corruption as well, but that's sometimes some things are beneficial to us. You understand? Or a Bahamian who needs some light, and there's somebody they know at BPL who could hook them up with some light, and it's the bog law deal. You know, even though we might call it corruption, but sometimes some things that is needful is wantful. You understand what I'm saying? So even that's why I say we can't get rid of some corrupt. You know, you understand? It's impossible. You all understand what I'm saying? There's some things we do that is corrupt, but it can benefit. It's hard, but it is what it is. You understand what I'm saying? This goes on right now. There are people who buy the license and stuff behind the bog. Nothing means they can't drive or none of that. Don't go through the procedure. They don't have the time. Then you have some people, like I said, you know, then you have some people might need their light to get hook up on the light pole and stuff like that, even though, you know, there's things we do, certain things. We all, you know, there's some type of stuff that we have someone in the family and we do some, but the major said, even though they said the smallest one is the, you know, but some, I know. I just saying that, you know, some things that we're going to have to accept, some things we're not going to be able to change, but we can work on it. You understand? We can work on bringing down the corruption. We could work on bringing down the murders from 100. We could say we could try to get it down to 30. And how we can do that, we can do that by changing the mindset of our kids in the country, providing them all opportunities, building up the communities. Okay? So Michael Pintar talked about that and what his government would do. And I think that's a step in the right direction because this is what I was preaching for because I know that a lot of people out there who don't have a house. You know, we have 700 kids. I think there's about how much millions of acres we have, millions of acres Bahamas has to offer. And a recent survey said there were 25,000 abandoned houses in the country, so there's no shortage of homes. It's just that we're going to find a way how we can refurnish them, you know. And then when I look at the government initiative, the government are building a lot of subdivision. Their families receiving keys. So even the government right now is doing some great jobs when it comes to the family and et cetera, and et cetera. We might not see it, but what tops is the corruption with the police and, you know, all that stuff, what's going on. So that's, it's kind of back and forth, you know. And we can't say the government ain't doing nothing, but there's a lot of poor people in the country. So when it comes to that, you know, people come to me every day, you know, there are a lot of people looking for work, looking for something to do. So why is the government... It's talking about how the economy is skyrocketing. It's more than last year. Now, the economy, there's still a lot of work to be done because there are a lot of people that are, who are mentally ill in this country. You know, I travel the streets. There are people out there in these communities who don't have none, despite the efforts of the government. You know, there are poor people hurting in this community who have children. And the children are suffering in this country, and the children themselves are going to become parents early, and they're going to make bad choices. And then we're going to see those children before the courts for various serious offenses, because they never going to have a childhood. These communities that these kids growing up in are not fit for them to be even living or growing up, because there's nothing in there for them. You know, just pure poverty, rowing every day, no positive activities going on. So we have to invest serious in the community. You know, so anything deals with progress, that's what I'm for. Being in Grandstand, I think it's one of the greatest community. I think all the communities are great, and I think that they need to be properly addressed, and the people should be respected. And how we do that is the plans we did with the Urban Design Lab should be continuous. I see Zabaz is taking lead on the ground as a candidate who understand the need. I think he do an assessment of 1,000 homes in that community who he's helping do home repair. So that should show you the dire need of persons in position who have their private funds, but they also are using it for development of the community. Now, this is not a plus for him to get into politics, no. It's a plus for me, because I want people who go into politics to really have the heart for the people and put their heart in it to actually go on the ground and help people. I don't care if you're from the PLP, I don't care if you're from them. Now, that don't mean that if the party leader or someone in the party is doing a bunch of foolishness, that we should vote for that particular party. But if that particular individual is doing some great job, and we could see what it's going to lead to if this person is elected as the member of parliament, then so do it. Someone who's beneficial, whether it's the PLP, whether it's the FNM. But if someone is making a good stance and you feel that they're going to make that change, you got to feel people are, then they should be given a chance. You can't look at somebody and say, you know, they shouldn't be this or shouldn't be that. What if God put poison in the position to help? You know, sometimes people just need a helping hand, you know what I mean? And sometimes that's what we need. I'm not telling no one to vote for no political party. I'm just saying, look at your choices, your decision, your best option. You understand what best option is? It means that you're going to see the candidates who come in that community or any other community who has the best plan, and the best plan is to help people, and they have to be committed to that. And we want that change, and that's why I did all these programs over the years freely on behalf of the Bahamian people, because I know what the Bahamian people want. People talk about real representation. I don't represent one community. I represent each and every community that has this problem of poverty, housing, and underdevelopment, whether you're on the family. And I did this work for the Bahamian people, that God blessed me with the insight, because I had the experience. I grew up in the city, in the inner city community, and I still do. And I know what we need, and what we need is more investment for our community. You can play the next clip, please.
Height of the construction of the tank that we're holding and providing potable water to Cat Island.
Potable water project here on Cat Island. It's amazing what we're doing. This is important for Family Island development, important for the people of the Family Islands, especially the people in Cat Island.
We've never had potable water. This is the start of it, and the work is underway, progressing magnificently. As you can see, water mains will be going through the length and breadth of Cat Island to ensure that we are accomplishing one of our sustainable goals of ensuring that Bahamians have access to clean potable water.
Yes, and that's the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. He said that he was in the internet in Cat Island. So that goes to show you that there are works going on that is not reported. But it might be, you know, people saying it's getting around election time and they're supposed to be doing this way before time. I think that this project was doing way before the election. There are some incidents where we could say there are some things going on that people are doing for the election. Like, for instance, we are talking about Juan Miller seat. And we see candidates from both the Free National Movement, the PLP, and Coalition of Independence. Then we have an independent candidate. And they're all vying to be the next member of parliament for the constituency of Golden Isles. And we're seeing that there's a lot of work going on the ground when it comes to road work. So there are many people saying that why they didn't do this before the election. And you were right for saying that, you know. Maybe it's because Juan Miller passed away, now it's a by-election, and the government feels that this is what the people need. It was on the book, but Mr. Miller probably didn't have time to do it, or et cetera. Now that he is deceased, may his soul rest in peace. They feel it's time that they can use this for election campaign. I don't care how you put it, they're using it for election campaign. You can't blame them, you know. If it was meant for the people, it would have been done, like, in the first year or so. But progress is progress, regardless how you put it, you know. It's best man wins, so I guess you got to go there. And I guess this is how you're going to buy the people vote. So if you're going to buy the people vote, this is a lot of buying the people vote, all right? You need to get someone to deal anyway because it's your money anyway. I just want to say to the general public that it's your money anyway. So no one's giving you nothing. It's just that they have the heart for you. Eh? That's the treasury money. Let me just explain this to any and everyone in this country. If you get a contract, they're not doing you a favor. They're only doing you a favor because they pick you. All right? Order the thousands of him to give you a contract, but they're doing you no favor because the money they're giving you is the same money would you spend to BPL, would you spend the waterworks, when you spend your license, your car license, car insured, or wherever you got to go when it comes to customs, or wherever you got to come and the money you spend, that's just your money returning it. So no one's doing you no favor. But still, this is what we wanted. Like I said, they're not doing you no favor. Where the money is coming from that they're doing all these things, building all the roads and et cetera. The only money coming differently is the boss money, which he earned, right? But it's still the Bayman people money. But he found a way to accumulate in bulks. So he was a smart one to accumulate in bulks. But it's still the Bayman people money. But he, and that's how business goes, he was able to accumulate it. And now it's his. And now he's giving back some, all right? But the government of Bahamas is not doing nothing for us, okay? Let me just say this to you. It's the taxpayers' money. But it is the right thing to do, all right? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Any government who's doing all these stuff in the country, they're not doing no favors. We pay taxes for them to do these things. It's just that some government over the years and members of parliament did not do what we required them to do. Prime ministers did not do what is required to do. They did what they did for the best interest of themselves and a few of the party members to make those people happy. And the rest, they just say, hey, we are tax collectors. All right? So, again, Brave Davis, he is putting a water system in place for the resident of Cat Island, which was needed many years ago. So even the prime minister is late. You understand? Because he, you know, should have done that from being elected. I think this is third term. This should have been one of the requirements from his first term. But he was the prime minister already, his opposition leader. He was supposed to make these requirements ahead of time. But nevertheless, it's still progress because people are still there. People need it, so it's infrastructure. He also been in the airport. So that's a plus. That's a plus. So anything that is progress, I give the thumbs up because it's benefiting the community. Like I say, I don't know if the people in that community is going to vote for the prime minister based on these recent developments. But again, progress is progress. And again, even though they're doing these things, listen, you guys, us as Bayman, are paying for it. We pay the government officials to come up with strategic development plans that can benefit the community. So anything that's missing, if we're missing a water system, we're supposed to mention it. And the MP is supposed to get it. If we need an ambulance, if we needed a helicopter, if we needed shelters, when it's time for a hurricane, where the residents can go to seek shelter, all of these things are supposed to be brought to the table. Okay? As a sitting member of parliament, again, they don't do you no favors. But they do you a favor if they... But they do you a favor because, like I said, they have hundreds of people who they could do contracts for. And because of the political system that is in, sometimes people push you aside. So, and they can't help everyone. So you'll be one of the lucky ones they give something to. So that's the only thing that I'd say is given to you. You know what I mean? Because they pick you at all. But 50 or 100 person to give you this, but still, again, they're not doing you the field. But again, it's progress. It's progress. The prime minister is making progress in Cat Island. He's making progress with the new water system so that the people in Cat Island got free, clean, running water, fresh water. Look how long that was missing. And this is the things we talk about inside the inner city, about development. And this is what we want each and every member of parliament to do in their constituency, develop. And then it'll be competition. You just have to do more. And as we develop, we come from housing. Because some communities don't need housing. Some communities don't, like San Susie and places like that, where high residence area, they need the MP like to be creative with social events, make sure the garbage is collected on time, make sure the roads are paved on time, make sure they go around and see the residents. And there may be some concerns about some overgrown lots, et cetera, et cetera. But there are many communities they travel to, you can't see one can on the ground. But for Charlotte, Bannon Grandstand, Mason Addition, Angleston, Camp Road, Fox Hill, the Grove, some parts of Nassau Village, you're seeing cans and balls and debris all over the streets. But in certain parts of Nassau and Providence where they have subdivisions, you could see that their community has a system where garbage is collected on time. You got to have even certain tiles, certain shingles put on the house. Grass are kept clean. They don't have no stray dogs running around the streets. There are patrols with security going on. But in these particular communities, why is that? Because we are affected. We have to change our mindset. So the most interest right now is to put our emphasis in the inner city community and build it up. We could go to the next clip, please.
Time making promises if they get elected, but he's not been elected and he's already done a lot.
Correct.
I think the work that he's doing is great, because in Fort Charlotte, this is the first time ever I've seen hands-on work on my behalf. The work that he's doing is great. He's the man of his word. He came, he spoke, and he delivered.
Well, would God send him? You see, he was sent for a reason and a purpose. And I feel, not really feel, but I think and I know from what I've seen and heard, I think he's the man for that. To help us out in poor child community.
Me being a part of Pigwood as well, you know, me having a few kids and grandchildren here, it made me feel proud to see that someone really cares. To give a lending arm to people who really need help. Because maybe we're being and promised them a day, you've only broken promises. And now, he comes here with no talks, just action. And then and people appreciate like, what he's doing for them. I just hope that. The cleanup company are you doing reviving people places in that they keep up the standard and which he set them on.
It's absolutely mind blowing that he's here, boots on the ground. He comes, he checks on you not once. He's been here several times. He listens to your concerns and now he's being proactive and helping us.
Proud, I can say, to be a part of this restoration that's going on.
We are community. I mean, people, they have stigma attached to these areas, but we're a community.
Yes.
We help out one another. We know our neighbors. We look out for one another. We're big on
family,
family and, right. And community.
Yes.
Yes, yes, I love progress. For me, as a citizen who pushed these things, anyone who is dealing with on-the-ground work where they're affecting and changing the lives of Bahamian people, you know, it might involve politics, but like I say, it's a big plus. Let me just first say to a former member of parliament for the Bannon Grandstand community, Honorable Travis Robertson, you know, as the youngest MP to be elected to the parliament, you know, I know that he was a phenomenal MP in the Bannon Grandstand. He did the best that he can, you know. He came from nothing, was given an opportunity, started running as independent, was given an opportunity to be recognized by the Free National Movement. They took him under his wings. They supported him. I think they gave him like, what, $500,000 the first time he got in. So he's able to use that set of money to do his little campaign trail around the area. So he was touching little houses, just like what Sabas is doing. You understand? So he was able to touch a few people in the inner city community. And he was able to use that as momentum for him to be elected because he was not a Bantan boy, you know? And he did some things as a member of parliament for the Bannon Grandstand community. There are many people who disgruntled with him. Many people will always be disgruntled with a member of parliament because they're saying that, you know, I'm not seeing him. But what we need to understand is that these MPs only have $160,000 per year. And they're dealing with a population where they say sometimes 5 to 6 or 7 or 8,000 people who are registered to vote are living in these communities. But that's only on the voters registry. There are kids, there are older people, you know, there are teenagers who are illegal immigrants and persons of Bahamian, Haitian descent who don't have papers live in this community. So even though you're looking out on the voters registry as about 8,000 or 5,000 people live in the constituency, sometimes this constituency has 30 to 40,000 people live in this constituency. And even though when people go to the poll, the MP normally win these seats by 5,000 or some thousand, well, I mean, people, when they say with 5 or 6,000 or 7,000 people will go to the polls, and then you'd see where the MP wins poll in division number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, and number 7. There are many people who in the country who don't even go to get registered to vote because they are not interested to register to vote because they're saying it's the same old, same old, same old. So you're going to see people in certain constituencies come out to vote for persons like Sabas and Travis Robertson because they know exactly that in some instances these guys mean well. But Sabas will do, I think, more because he already has a network, he has his own personal money, and he was already given poison. Now, I'm not saying this is a reason to say elect him as a member of parliament. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what he brings to the table, like helping people, what he's doing now, and then help him build a small business in that small structure of that community. With that assistance alone, it's going to change the dynamics of that community because now they will be able to make some things happen. Travis Robertson can do the same as well. You know, because this is how politics are changing. See, politics are changing in the country because this is the way how I want politics to be in the country. Because if the politicians are going on the ground, or candidates are going on the ground and fixing people's houses and talking about small business and they mean this and they're doing this, well, I'm all for that. This is what I came on the show for because I wanted to change the directory of how things done in our country. I wanted us to focus on the ground with the Urban Design Lab, with the Overland Initiative. And if you watch what Fort Charlotte MP, Fort Charlotte candidate is doing, he is doing exactly that. And that is developing, transforming, and redeveloping the community. And that would change the mindset and things to start to change in that community itself. And that's what we want from our MPs in this country. And that's what I've been pushing for. That's what I've put all my emphasis on because I know if we put emphasis on development of these inner-city communities, we will be able to deal with some of the issues. We will be able to deal with some of the at-risk kids in our community and change their minds because we'd have a lot of opportunities to present to them. Because we'd have a lot of different programs in that community, business seminars, you know. And I'm also encouraging local dentists, you know, eye doctors, you know, find one of these abandoned buildings in these inner-city communities and come back home, right? Come back home. Listen, there's a lot of money to be made because we have a lot of people who needs their teeth to get fixed, dentists. If you could come in the community and set up a nice little small business establishment, you're the cheapest dentist, listen, or the cheapest eye doctors, I think you could be very successful because there are thousands of people in the inner-city community who want to have surgeries and see a dentist, but they just don't have that big amount of money. But if you use a dentist and you know that you don't have a lot of clientele, you know, you could set yourself up in the inner city community, whether it's Bantown, Angleston, and ask the government to give you a snipe and just assist persons because the government is sending people over to Cuba and et cetera right now as we speak. So why not do it here in the Cumberland Department? So I'm encouraging dentists and barbers and anyone of a profession, you know, to come back in the inner city community, you know, and set up. You know, let's build back up the inner city community with infrastructure. And we need you guys to come back in there because there's a lot of people in the inner city community has eye problem. And even some herbal doctors who got herbal, you know, medicine. You know, we need you guys to come back and set up these businesses in the community. We have one more clip, right? And also, this clip here is how we could also incorporate John Canoe. The JCNA was a big argument, and they're claiming that millions went missing from numerous groups that were given from the government funds to many of the groups, and millions were gone. And there's a big argument, and then there was a delay. Now there is speculation that there's going to be a John Canoe raid. All groups are going up. But I think that John Canoe, with the major groups like One Family, Saxon, who has won four straight, the Wally Boys, who I think just settled their dispute, I feel that these organizations who are embedded in the inner city community, they are the ones who are supposed to really help change the directory of the mindset of the community, because they're right there. They're sharks. There's the 66 app, like the Saxons, for prime example. I have a few more minutes. Let me explain this again. The Saxons, who are four-time champion. The 66 steps has been restored. The lighthouse has been restored. They're working on the fort, right? There are steps going down to the community and to the hospital and to Bay Street. From the 66 step, carries you to the hospital and to Bay Street. And then going over it, it takes you to the water tower. It takes you to Mr. Thompson's, J.P. Thompson, Mr. Thompson, who has a show on Global. I was just on Mr. Thompson's show, I think it was Wednesday. Mr. Thompson occasionally calls in. He lives right up on top of Mason Addition, Fort Finn Castle. And there are steps. And on those steps, they're supposed to be the gateways for the guests and tourists to go down those steps and go and explore Mason Addition, especially how they was a four-time champion. So if the John Canoe leaders weren't invest in small business opportunities for many of their John Canoe members, I'm talking from the cowbellers, I'm talking from the off the shoulder, I'm talking from anything that can be creative. Because if you have tourists coming to your community, you can imagine you buy some nice shirt, some nice pants, and you paste them, you know, with a nice set of paste, and you put Nassau Bahamas on them, and you have a variety of them. You remember when those guests come, you tell them what John Canoe is, and you're selling these for a little $100 or $200, you know, nice suits and stuff. You know what I mean? Nice paste, nice shirt with your initials on it. You could make some money, you know, nice John Canoe pants paste, nice shirt paste. You don't think the tourists would come down and purchase those as they come down in Mason Addition? And then you could use the sharks as way to say, you know, if they're in their pace, and you could say, well, okay, I charge the tourists $1 or $2 just to come in. You know, nothing expensive. You know, the taxi drivers bring them, and just to see how we build the costumes and see the people who, and they will decorate and stuff, that we allow the tourists to come in and say, this is what we could present on the John Canoe Parade. So you have the tourists coming in the areas, and that's how we can get a lot of the kids in the school involved in John Canoe and the tourism industry. And once we can do this, we can see a lot of change and how our the mindset of our kids, because John Canoe is key. You know, John Canoe is big money. We can't let the leaders of these organizations make millions of dollars and nothing's trickling along to the members. I watch some guys and they spend $1,500 on their costume and they get nothing in return. And they're rushing for One Family. They're rushing for the Saxon and they're rushing for the Wally. And look who's achieving the leaders. They're taking their special amount of their special people in the party place and they get their sponsors and they're taking these people. They're special people, and they can't on little expedition. They're giving them a few dollars, but the rest are not giving nothing. And I think that John Canoe is a way to turn into a big business, you know, because you could do John Canoe doors. You could be creative with your hands. Look at my friend Bappy on Taylor Street. Bappy is a manufacturer. Bappy makes off the shoulder for One Family, for Atlantis, for whatever. And Bappy right now, it's $1,000. He could probably be a millionaire, all right? And he used his skills. Now he's a manufacturer. And everyone goes to Bappy. You know what I'm saying? And he have some of this cardboard and stuff like that. So John Canoe could be a next way of a trade and an easy way of Bahamians earning an honest living, okay? We're going to take this call, and then I want to play my last clip. Go ahead, caller. You hear that, caller?
Hello.
Hello, good night.
Yes, good night. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. I'm right here enjoying your show.
Thank you very much.
But what is something that's been bothering me, and I'd like for you to address it.
Yes, sir.
After the election hype is over, the banks and insurance companies, we need, as a people, to talk about them.
Yes, sir.
Because they're robbing us.
Yes,
left, right, and center. And it seems like the Bahamian people don't want to acknowledge it or don't understand it. I'd say it's a lot of these banks and insurance companies, we don't understand their way of work. I mean, a lot of people don't understand the way they work.
Yes.
And the amount of money they're taking out of this country.
Yes.
And not giving us back as people who pay these things, go into banks and all that, and we're getting nothing for return. We're getting a half a penny on our dollar.
Yes, sir.
We need to address that as a people when you have time on one of your shows.
I will
like
do that.
You to do that.
I will do that. I'm going to check and do some research within the next
do some
2 weeks.
On it.
Yes,
sit
sir.
Sit in a bank one day. Watch how long the lines are, one or two tellers. Watch how you're paying for everything. Watch how you're paying to use the ATM
yes,
machine.
Yes, yes,
you're
yes.
You're paying for a letter. You're paying to put your
yes,
money in the
yes,
bank.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
they give us nothing back.
Yes.
It's
yes.
like they don't want us to have anything.
Hmm.
And that bothers me every time I go in a bank or an insurance company to see all this money I'm paying, and they take the money and let it out for 19% and 20% interest or something.
We need a tax return.
8%
We need a tax return
on your money. We as a people get nothing back.
We need a tax return.
Now I'm not talking about it's just the interest.
Yes.
You have your money. You could have $100,000. I don't want to call a bank name, but you could have $100,000 in any one of these banks. And at the end of the 3 month period, whenever they give interest, you get about $30 on your money.
No.
$50 on your money.
No, that don't make no sense. Because they're letting out your money. They're letting out your money.
And all you hear is about the profits they
yes,
make.
Yes.
But they don't. They're supposed to be building the people.
Yes.
The
yes.
banks are there for the people.
Hmm.
And what they keep telling you about putting your money in the bank, using these credit cards.
Yes.
They're only costing us more.
Yes,
the
sir.
The poor people feel it more than the rich people.
Yes, sir.
But they want us to use these cards and all. I'm watching this trend.
Yes.
And how they're going cashless. Do you know? I know you know a bunch of fellas in your area that don't even have a passport.
They don't have none of those stuff. I don't mean rob on
demon. Expect them to get in the bank and go cashless.
Yes, they finish.
You're creating a black market.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know you're doing that.
That's why I say progress.
There's a lot of fellas who live underground.
Yes, that's why I say we have to make progress.
Some people don't have the money to go to the bank.
Yes,
it don't make sense.
Yes, sir.
So we need to, as a country now, start looking at that.
Yes.
To make this, instead of them shipping the money out, and it's, I don't want to call a bank name, but it's supposed to be our bank.
Yeah.
Why we can't get more? If I'm your cousin or your brother, versus a friend. Are you going to give me something more?
Yes, sir.
So why can't we get more out of the banks? And they got us so happy just to have our money in the bank and we don't get anything in return.
We're supposed to keep
and
the pen.
And they're always trying to sell us something. So we need to start. Now, this is where we educate the people. Because a lot of people don't understand it, don't have time to listen to it. But we need somebody like you.
Yes, sir.
An inner city man who know people out there who don't have no form of ID. How
yes.
are you supposed to go cashless if you ain't got no ID?
They have no ID. They could be stateless.
They driving around and they ain't got driver's license.
They could be stateless in the country.
Right. So how are they supposed to go cashless? And they telling us these dumb things like it's supposed to be so good. But it's not.
And they don't understand the population.
Right. They're creating a black market.
Yes, they are. Because they in high places, they think that everyone is in a position as them with all information, all computerized. No, it don't work like that. They're statistic, right? They have all the statistics, but statistics, you know, can't work on the inner city people who don't have none of those
right.
stuff.
That's a different life in a different,
different
world.
Different world, different world, different, completely different world.
So we need to get, as the people of this country, get together and tell them, start telling us the ins and outs
yes.
of banking. An insurance company, because every year the insurance company sent a fortune out.
Yes, sir.
And they have all these lovely buildings and all of that from us, and they're making $100,000 a year and all that. Why can't our insurance be cheaper?
Yes, sir. You're right.
And they charging us left with all of that is what causing the inflation to go so high.
Yes, sir.
And our government, we like you said, you got a bunch of nuts up there. They don't pay attention because they don't feel this.
No, they don't feel this. They don't understand it, you know.
They
don't
know
understand.
Because they're making money from it.
Yes, sir.
A lot of them own these companies.
No, I agree. Most all the politicians and hosts of parliament are business owners. They have business, and they know the major companies that they're doing business with that bringing all this, the food supply, all the tennis, or everything that you see coming to the country. I'm going to drive our politicians out of company owners. Let me just tell you all that. On
a
both sides.
A small man who gets paid $250, $300 a week.
Yes.
You think he won't go to bank the start of a line for hours, they put that in, and then go Monday, take out $150, $200?
No, sir.
And you're charging him to take it out? No,
yes,
man,
sir.
We need to look at these things.
Yes, sir.
That is what caused them all this inflation.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the factors.
Yes, sir.
So when I advertise it before you do it, Scrooge, so I can make sure I'll be home.
Okay.
So I can listen to it.
I can make sure I do some research on it before I do it. So what I say, let's come out 2 weeks, and then I come back with it. Go out, spell it.
Let's make the last day finish with this thing, because, you know, their brain.
Okay, it makes sense. Okay, then, makes sense.
Yeah,
okay, then.
They all want party and have, most of them want to party and have fun.
Okay, then.
So let's wait till they calm down.
Yes, sir.
And they don't have all that sugar and alcohol in the system.
Yes.
And they can sit down and listen.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Chris, let me play the last thing real quick. We're going to have 2 more minutes real quick. And to show you how we can change the country just by doing these things, if we take it serious and invest in our kids and take John Canoe and turn it into a business. Okay? Go ahead, Chris, real quick. If you could.
That would include 5 preschools, 9 primary schools, 5 junior high schools, 5 senior high schools, 8 all-age schools, and 2 community school groups. Of course, the ministry is happy to partnership with Seoul and Scotiabank, who's made our life much easier to make sure that these parades come off so smoothly, so that all of our teachers and educators are those who participate and ensure that these young persons have some positive environment to be around as we try to harness our number one culture, which is John Canoe.
This is our 36th year of supporting the talents, creativity, and spirit of our young people. We're immensely proud not only of our long-standing commitment to the development of culture in this country, but also the youth and those who support them each year.
We are very proud to sponsor this event. This is an investment in the youth of the Bahamas. The way that we view this is we are investing in talent, we are investing in musicians, artists, and persons who will lead this nation in the upcoming years.
Yes, real quick. Yes, that is correct. The leaders of both those parties, Sox and Wally Boys, not being respectful. I know Gus personally, the late great Gus Cooper, Walter Francis, I know him too, he was my neighbor, and through Lewis Street, they used to live through Lewis Street, Francis Hotel, and then he branched off to Mason Addition. I know his sister, Diana Francis, who's a part of the Urban Renewal Board. I knew their father, Mr. Francis, and Mrs. Francis. They both passed away. They were very good neighbors. They were wealthy, but they never treated me bad. You know, I was able to go in their hotel and meet a lot of tourists. They used to have a lot of tourists in their hotel. I talk about white tourists and black tourists from America. So I want to close it on this. John Canoe is tourism. If we learn to turn John Canoe into business and pay all those who are part of the John Canoe, whether it's the off-the-shoulder, whether it's the cowbellers, whether it's the whistleblowers, the government of the Bahamas give sniping to the John Canoe groups, then we have to make sure that the funds is sent through the organization and trickle down. And then there's a lot of expo. Neo was here the other day, and we had the John Canoe experience with him. And he did a song, and he said that was the most beautiful rhythm he has ever heard with the John Canoe music. And just imagine what we can do when people visiting our airports, and we got these young kids, artists, musicians, and et cetera. And if we empower them, we can change the concept and make a lot of progress in this country. So I completely out of time. So I'd see you next week, Friday, if God spare life. I want to say thanks to all the callers who listened to Guardian Radio on Inside Inner City. It was a pleasure to be a host here tonight. But everything I've done for this country. Now, I'm not a political opportunist. I'm for Bahamas. I did the groundwork for the whole entire Bahamas for many years. All right? I have the proof, and that I was always dedicated to helping. And this is the way how I can't help by coming on the radio, but I'm also showing you how many programs that are being helping me to benefit the Bahamian people, whether you're on the family island, in any city community, in prison, in school, anyone who are disenfranchised. I always represented the all and always had a plan to help uplift each and every one of you in this country if our government leaders were listening. It seems that we're headed that way. So I want to say a special good night to each and every one of you. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie R. Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. And I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Big up to my boy, Elroy, and big up to my big boss man, Omar. Bless up.
What are you doing to me, man? Oh, look. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.